It was a great week of serving Christ, of engaging in ministry in our community. And so the question for today is, where do we go from here? The Apostle Paul gives us some direction about where we go from here in his letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10, the Apostle writes, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." In that passage, the apostle warns of the danger of deception, and he warns in the strongest terms. He uses an imperative verb there that is translated, "Do not be deceived." It's the word, the verb for be deceived, but he's stating it in very strong terms. He knew that Jesus had said that the devil was a liar and the father of lies, and Jesus cautioned his disciples against being led astray. The devil is always working to bring deception through false teaching and temptations that come from other people. There's no shortage of those in this world who would continually work at bringing deception, tempting us to doubt our faith, whispering words of discouragement about the church, placing all manner of distraction before us. But there's another source of deception that, in my view, and I think Paul's view, is far more insidious and difficult to detect than those sources from outside. The worst kind of devil-inspired deception, I believe, comes from within us. The great self-deception is the foolish belief that what I sow now will not correspond to what I reap later. Paul says, God is not mocked. We cannot live a life ignoring God and then be surprised when we reap what we sow. God is not mocked. And the word for mocked literally in Greek means to turn one's nose up in arrogant disregard. So it's not so much Paul saying God is not mocked, you know, like screamed at or teased or something. It's more like ignored. God is not mocked. Paul here gives us the law of sowing and reaping. A law may be a strong term, maybe too strong. It's more of a proverbial saying that he uses. And it's basically that the harvest depends on the planting. Many people, and sometimes I fear even we ourselves, deceive ourselves into believing that this natural law of planting and harvesting is not going to come true for us. They believe they can sow their seed thoughtlessly, nonchalantly, and so deceive themselves of the fact that the seeds they sow inevitably produce a corresponding harvest. They sow seed of one kind and expect to reap a harvest of another. Now, can you imagine the farmer who would go out in the spring and plant wheat and then return to his fields in the fall expecting to harvest corn? You'd think, that's dumb. Why would you do that? Can you imagine the gardener who went out in her backyard and planted tomatoes, and then a few months later goes out in a surprise that she's got no strawberries? That's bizarre. Who would do that? The harvest corresponds to what is sown. And that's true for the way we live our lives. It's not the reapers who decide what the harvest is going to be like, but the sowers. If a person is faithful and conscientious in sowing, then he can be confidently sure and expect a good harvest in return. If he sows wild oats, as some like to say, then you can't expect to reap a life of strawberries. That's the law of sowing and reaping. The harvest depends on the planting. Everyone sows. Some sow to the sinful nature and will reap corruption, or as it's translated here in the NIV, destruction. That is, a process of moral decay will set in on one's life. To sow to the flesh is to pander to it, to coddle it, to stroke it instead of crucifying it. The seeds of sowing to the flesh are every time that we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, to nurse a grievance, to entertain an impure fantasy, to wallow in self-pity. Those are all sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company whose insidious influence that we know deep inside we can't resist. Every time we allow pornographic images to enter our minds, every time we risk what will strain our self-control, we're sowing to the flesh. Some Christians sow to the flesh every day and wonder why they're reaping a harvest that is not one of holiness and goodness. Why do I have no joy, no peace, no patience, no faith, no love, no self-control? That's the fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists in the previous chapter, in chapter 5, verse 22 of Galatians. That's a harvest. And whether we reap it or not depends largely on what we sow. To sow in the sinful nature is to reap destruction, corruption from the inside out. To sow in the Spirit is to reap, as Paul says, eternal life. That is a process of moral and spiritual growth that begins. A communion with God that begins to develop now and continues to grow into eternity and becomes perfected. The phrase eternal life is the life of the believer which proceeds from God in Christ. It's a life of grace and holiness that begins in this world and continues on into eternity. It's a life that reflects the glory of Christ in times of prosperity and in times of suffering. He's not talking about planting seed so that you can get materially wealthy. He's not talking about that. He's talking about planting a seed, sowing to the Spirit, that the things might be produced in your life that last for eternity. Not bigger, better cars and houses. It's a life that reflects the glory of Christ in times of prosperity and in times of suffering. The fruit can be seen sometimes best in the times of suffering. It's a life that's lived to honor God and overflows with the love of Christ. That old adage is true. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. It's true. So what does it mean to sow in the Spirit? Sowing in the Spirit means, I think, basically two kinds of things here. One, it's practicing spiritual disciplines. That's sowing. Paul says over in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Again, the seeds we sow are thoughts and deeds. We're to seek and set our minds on the things of God. That doesn't mean sit around and dream about heaven. It means think and engage in godly thoughts that affect us today and now. We're to foster disciplined habits of devotion to God in private, and in public, a daily prayer and Bible reading time, and worship with the Lord's people on the Lord's day. All of this is sowing in the Spirit. And without it, there's not going to be a harvest of the fruit of the Spirit. So on the one hand, sowing to the Spirit is practicing those spiritual disciplines of daily prayer and devotion and Bible reading and connecting with other people and seeking God in those Bible reading times and prayer times for one another. That's sowing good things. On the other hand, Paul talks about doing good for others. In verse 9, there's a Greek word there, kalon. It's translated good in the NIV. And it can mean to be good as in attractive in outward appearance, or beautiful, or handsome. The word is used that way in some Greek literature. Paul uses the word in reference to being good and useful, of moral quality, to be noble or praiseworthy. It's the same word used by James when he says in James 4:17, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. We're called to live well before God. Our lives are to be beautiful in the sense of what is produced that is of lasting significance in the eyes of God. In this passage, four times, Paul repeats this sow and reap metaphor. First, he lays out the well-known proverbial expression, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. All farmers, all gardeners know that. Then he applies it to life lived without God. The one sowing to the flesh or to the sinful nature will reap destruction. And then he applies it to life lived in Christ. The one sowing to the Spirit will reap eternal life. And then the fourth time he uses it, he replaces sow with doing good, to clarify what sowing is all about and what he means. Christ redeems us that we may begin to use the gifts that he's given us, including our hands and our bodies, for good works. Paul wants the heart and mind to be set on the spiritual things of God and our hands to be engaged in doing God's work in this world. So, as followers of Jesus Christ, we don't quit. We never stop doing God's work. He says in verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. We believe that a harvest is coming. So we don't give up. Sometimes I'm afraid I'm tempted to think of this more like a child in reference to the harvest. Sometimes I want to sow and reap in the same day. Just yesterday I planted some little flower bulbs in front of my house. Watered them down. You know, you put those little bulbs, you bury them 6 inches deep, according to the instructions. I'm not a gardener. Walked in the house and Sandy came out, and that's nice. I'm like, yeah, but yeah, so what? Can't see anything. Walked out this morning, checked them. Guess what? Can't see a thing. If I want potatoes for dinner tomorrow, it does me little good to plant potatoes in my garden tonight. There are long stretches of darkness and invisibility and silence that separate planting and the reaping. During those stretches of waiting, there is cultivating and weeding and nurturing and more planting, more sowing. Paul urges believers, do not lose heart in doing good. If the sowing is the doing of good works in the community, then what's the harvest? What's this harvest that we're looking for? Well, Paul doesn't tell us, to be honest. He kind of leaves us to guess. Usually the harvest is delayed, like planting the bulbs in front of my house. Eventually, I hope to see a harvest of pretty flowers there. You can drive by in a few months and see if it happens. But sometimes we get a glimpse of the harvest sooner than later. And as we, as a church, engaged in doing good deeds and helping people in our community through this Faith in Action Week, you could see some of that. Some of the harvest already beginning to come back. part of the harvest is the dignity and integrity that we have in our lives. What we feel as we sow by doing good deeds. Did you see the pictures of us playing kickball with the kids? Those are kids who need people to care about them. And you could see the harvest already budding when you saw the smiles on their faces. And on the second and third day that we'd go back to the after-school care where we were doing this ministry, kids would run to greet us. Part of the harvest is seen in the faces of smiling children that we help. Part of the harvest is seen as we make the world a better place. Part of the harvest is the godly way of life that we pass on to our children as they serve beside us. Part of the harvest is the comfort, relief, or assistance that we bring to people in need. Sometimes part of the harvest is seeing a sinner loved by God, led to repentance, experiencing grace and salvation. That's part of the harvest. And yes, part of the harvest is the crown of glory awaiting in heaven. So we get glimpses of it in this life. So we don't quit. We never stop doing the work of God in this world, because we believe a harvest is coming. And we thank God for the glimpses of it that we get. And so we don't quit. We continue to capitalize on the opportunities at hand. He says in verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." There's another word there in Greek in verse 10. It's kairon, and it's translated opportunity there in verse 10. But the interesting thing about the word is it's the same word translated time in verse 9. You get that? So when he says in verse 9 that the proper time will receive a harvest, and then in verse 10 he says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity," you could just as well translate, "Therefore, as we have time, we continue to do good works." It means a point of time or a period of time. So essentially he's saying, until the time of harvest, now is the favorable or right or appropriate time for doing good in the name of Christ. He's not so much indicating, I think, or pointing to specific opportunities that may come along. He's referring to a period of time where we have all kinds of opportunities, and that time is our life together in this world, in this life. There's no lack of human need. It's all around us. Now is the opportunity, is the time for us to step up to the calling of God and do His work. That's what characterizes Pflugerville Community Church more than anything else I can think of. People saved by grace, engaged in doing the work of God in this world. Do we do it perfectly? Probably not. Do we miss opportunities sometimes? Sure. We're still human. But in the end, it's the direction of continuing to follow after the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who reaches to people and helps people and engages the gifts that God gave him, and we do the same. A more literal translation of that phrase, "do good," would be, "we should work," because the root word in Greek of that word, you don't care what the word is, but it means to engage in work, in activity that involves effort. Effort is expanded by those who follow Christ in this world. And sometimes the work's not easy. Sometimes it's fun and it goes and it's smooth, but sometimes it's shoveling sand for a few hours, like we did out at Angel Heart. You saw some of those pictures. I'll have to admit, I've never had so much fun shoveling sand in my life than I was with that whole bunch of guys out there. We were building this volleyball court for kids at Angel Heart. That's a children's shelter for abused children. And it was great fun, but sometimes, as my brother likes to say, work is work. You get dirty and messy doing the work of God. We do not quit. We're not afraid of hard work, whether it means the preparation of a lesson to teach, or shoveling sand, or painting, or helping people in a physical way. We do not quit when the task becomes harder than anticipated. And I think a couple of tasks that we had planned for that week became harder than anticipated. And it blessed my soul and encouraged my faith to see people step up, determined to finish the task at hand. Some are called to bleed, literally, for the cause of Christ in times of persecution. All are called to sweat for the cause of Christ in working for the good of all people, and especially to brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, sometimes I'm afraid we think of acts of mercy and kindness like a pebble dropped in a pool. You drop the pebble in a pool and it makes ripples. They're temporary. And the pebble sinks to the bottom and you don't think about it again. And the net effect is nothing. Nothing has changed. That's not what our acts of kindness and mercy done in the name of Christ are like. Unlike the pebble, when I plant a bulb, a seed, in the fresh soil, something is going to happen. We won't be able to see it maybe for a few weeks or a few months, but with a little water and a little sunshine, something beautiful is going to grow in the soil. God wants us to understand that our acts of mercy and kindness in this world are not like pebbles dropped in a pool, but they're seeds planted in the soil of life, and they will come up one day. The decision for us is not whether to sow. Everyone sows. The decision is, what will you sow? The decision is, what will you do? Because your deeds, that's seed being planted. Your attitudes, that's seed. Your prayers, that's seed. Your thoughts are seed. And the acts of mercy and kindness we do in the name of Christ in Pflugerville Community Church, in our greater community, that's seed this church plants, and a harvest is going to come. The harvest is both inside us, the people who do the work, and it's a good harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that fruit of the Spirit that grows inside of us. And that harvest is a changed world as the kingdom of God penetrates and makes this place better for people. It all comes to harvest. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. With God's help, we will not grow weary in doing His good work. For the members, or what I like to call the partners, here at Pflugerville Community Church, what's your response to the message? I want to suggest one for you. I want to challenge you to do something specific this week. I want you to plant a seed. I don't mean a bulb in front of your house like I did yesterday. That'd be okay too if you want to. But I want you to do something specific that will be seed. I want you to look around this morning after the service. I want you to think about the people in this church who served in our Faith in Action, or who serve every week teaching Sunday school, greeting, bringing the worship to us, all the various ways. And I want you to take note of someone that the Spirit might reveal to you is growing a bit weary, is tired. And I want you to plant a seed of encouragement this week. Encouragement and refreshment. Write a note. Send it through the snail mail because they mean more. Invite someone to have a cup of coffee. Maybe you step up and say, I want to lend a hand to you. Do whatever the Spirit leads you to do. But if you're a partner here, a part of Pflugerville Community Church, your challenge, God, show me who needs a word of encouragement and plant a seed in someone's life who might be just a tad weary and needs that. Christ can speak through you if you'll allow Him. Bring encouragement and refreshments. Now, what about guests? We have some who aren't partners yet. And maybe you're seeking God, wondering what He wants for your life. Whether maybe this church is a place where you connect and become a member or, like I said, a partner here. What's the response for you? Well, what kind of harvest do you want in your life? Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Are those the things you want in your life? Are you willing to sow to the Spirit in order to reap the fruit of the Spirit? We do a lot of sowing seed in this church. Every member is a partner, and every partner is urged to be a part of a small group where spiritual disciplines can be practiced and learned together. That's planting seed in our hearts that will grow up into a good harvest. And every member, every partner, serves. They're engaged in the work of the kingdom of God, sometimes within the church and sometimes outside the church, and very often both. There's a lot of seed that's sown here. There's a place for you beside those who are sowing the seed to the Spirit at Pflugerville Community Church. So I would encourage you, look deep within your heart and ask the Lord, is this the place where I begin to sow good seed to the Spirit? Or maybe it's, is this the place where I continue to sow that seed that's begun in another place and another time? And if the Lord leads you to do so, you come. You express your desire to serve the Lord here. And really, it's a simple process to become a partner in this church. We have something called the Discovery Class. And that's a little seminar kind of thing that I lead. And the next one is coming up Thursday, May 17th. It's in your bulletin. We'll have dinner together. And you get to learn all about the church. And I make a couple of promises. Number one, you won't be pressured. Number two, you'll get a good dinner. Right? That's right. That lady's cooking it right there. It's going to be great. There will be no pressure, and there'll be a great dinner, and there's no obligation. It doesn't cost you a thing, and I give you the membership forms, and you take them home. But for you, the question is, where do you go and begin to plant seed at this time in your life? A lot of seeds planted here. Come on. Come on. Let's plant seed together. Let's look for that harvest together in the name of Christ. Our worship team's going to come. We're going to close with this last song. I think they're going to come. Right? Yeah, there they are. And as we sing this last song, members, partners, you be thinking as you sing, God, who needs an encouraging word? Who might be growing a little weary and could use some refreshment from you through me? Would you ask that? And if you're not a member, that's okay. Ask God, is this the place where I need to be? then you come and let me know when the service is over, if you would like. And that'd be great. Let's stand and sing together.